TIE fighters aren't bad guys, Dad. All they do is crash into rocks and the Death Star.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's time for another Geeky Boners episode. We're throbbing hard and ready for action. Our boners this week are gonna make you sweat.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick and Nick Glover.
Clank.
Now, those are the sounds of boners. That's right.
Boners.
Oh, friends, it is time for another Geeky Boners episode. Our boners are strong. They're filled with blood. The veins are pulsing. The tip is purple. Who is ready to talk about? I've seen a lot of boners. I don't know about you guys. You've probably only seen your own. I've seen lots of them.
Like live and in person?
Or live and in person. Is it real or is it Memorex? Either way, it's coming in my face. All right. Why wasn't I a newscaster? I'm born for this. All right. So it's Geeky Boners. We're recording live at Deepwood Mod Studios. Nick is on call. Could potentially be called away at any moment.
Ooh.
Peaches, the 11-month-old puppy, could bark. She's been really barky sometimes.
Yeah.
She was a good girl last episode.
Yeah, she was.
She just gets excited. Don't
we
you
also have Bengal asshole cats that it's, like Tim Rao.
It's a menagerie of assholes.
All sorts of shit can
yeah.
happen.
Yeah. But it's time to talk about boners, not about animals and the noises they make.
Or the boners they have.
Or the boners they have. Only yeah. two of them. The one, she's a girl. She has lady boners. But she does
really
love sticks.
Loves the
if
sticks.
If Peaches had a boner for anything, it would be sticks.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. All right. Tim.
Yeah.
I hear that you have a foreign boner.
A foreign boner.
A boner of a...
out-of-country boner.
Really a Lee Harris type boner. A really classy...
Lee Harris type
pinky
boner.
Pinky in the air
yeah.
kind of boner.
It's more of a Monty Python boner.
More of a Doctor Who boner.
Yeah, low-class boner. Not really. Yeah. It's, you're not a posh boner.
Not a posh
Talk
boner.
Talk to me about your erection.
We just... my family, my mom and my brother.
Hot.
And my wife and kids, all of us, Pat and the boys, are going to go to England next summer. It's what we're doing for the 4th of July.
Hey!
Since Convergence is moving.
Oh, yeah.
Is moving into August.
Okay, so hold on. You're going to England for the 4th of July?
That's right. I'm going to celebrate
they
it
might
like
not
a,
let you come back.
I'm going to celebrate it like a true patriot. So it started, my brother and his wife have, they won a cruise in a silent auction. And it's a British Islands cruise, but it's not like the really well-known British Islands. It's like the Isle of Skye and
okay.
a bunch of Isle of Man and some other islands that I haven't even heard of.
Sure.
So we're doing like a week-long cruise around the English Isles, but we're also planning on going to London and being there for a week ahead of time, which is super exciting. I have been to London a couple of times in my life. It's great.
When were you in London? Last.
I was in London was my senior year of college. So it's been a while.
You were in London during like, so that was like what? Like fucking like the 80s?
The 90s.
The 90s.
But not by much.
Yeah.
That was the last time.
Was it during the Troubles?
It might have been.
No.
Early
90s. The Troubles really weren't a thing that was happening a lot in London at that time.
Okay.
The Troubles were more early 80s. I mean, it was still during the Troubles, but they weren't.
Okay.
Anyway, that's totally,
you weren't worried about it.
Yeah. There right. wasn't anything that you really thought about while you were in England. So, I mean, I've been there. I love Europe for the fact that these cities are all walking cities, and I love to be able to walk and just see shit and like come around a corner and go, damn, that looks cool. Can I go inside?
The tube is great.
Her name is Bethany, Tim, and you can't just say that.
that's more France. Anyway, never mind. No, it's not. But
Quel dommage.
So that, and yeah, the tube is great. The theater scene in London is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
The last time I was there, it was for a theater in London J-term thing when I was in college.
Sure.
And my brother and I went to, like, a play or two every goddamn day.
Yep.
We just went we would go down to Leicester Square, which is where you can get discount tickets, and go, what's for sale today?
Oh, I saw...
That looks cool.
I saw a terrible version of Phantom of the Opera in London.
I saw a really good version of Phantom of the Opera in London. But nice. I also saw Starlight Express, which is never good. But it's people on roller skates. I mean, fucking A, man.
Yeah.
Are you going to try to see the Harry Potter play?
Yeah. Nice. We'll try.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You know, I'm going to be there with the kids and with mom, and I don't know that we'll
be... kids hate Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I don't know that we'll be able to see as many plays as I would like to see, but we're talking about taking a trip up to Stratford-on-Avon and catching a Shakespeare in Stratford, or going to the Globe.
Catching a real live Shakespeare.
Or going to the Globe in London, because they were building it the last time
The reconstruction, yeah.
But I haven't been to the reconstructed Globe, so cool. That would be a really kind of cool thing to do. So I do what I always do. I bought a bunch of travel books, and I like reading travel books and like going through all the shit to do in London. And yeah, I know a lot of it, but there's also the books always kind of, you find stuff there like, oh, dang, I didn't know that was going down. I want to try that.
My mom took me to London. So because I was her first, I still remain her firstborn. And so I graduated from college, and she was like, I'm going to take you on a trip. It's just going to be over like a weekend. And she didn't tell me where we were going. That was the surprise. I just had to pack for whatever. And then we got to the airport, and she told me we were going to London. It was very exciting. We were there for like, I think like 55 hours altogether. So it was pretty crazy.
Jet lagged the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the thing I remember the most was I was working at Barnes & Noble. I went to Barnes & Noble, and I bought one. They had these little like pocket-sized maps that were of the streets and also of the tube. And it was like a glossy little like pocket-sized, but when you opened it, it was a pop-up map.
Yep. I know.
Do you remember those? Yep. Oh my God, I wish they still made them. It was so fucking great. I can't find them anymore because it wasn't like an unfoldable map.
I know what you're talking about.
It was just two cards, like two index cards, and when you opened it, the map was like origami, like opened to like twice the size.
We had a thing like that for Rome just like 6 years ago.
Maybe I just gotta find them in the right spot.
I think I've seen them.
I had it in London, and it was like, my mom was really worried, and she wasn't a public transit person, and she was really afraid that we weren't gonna be able to get anywhere. We're gonna have to pay for cabs all the time. But the tube was so easy to figure out.
Oh, I love the tube.
And I figured it out. Like I have never. That is the one city where I got there and I was like, oh shit, I actually feel completely at ease, totally at home. Like, I could live here. Like, it made total sense to me. It's I've never had that happen. New York City, Amsterdam, you know, other cities, it's not been that way. But this, it just was like, just like that.
Well,
I loved it.
I mean, everybody speaks the same language. If you're lost, you know, they may have a few slightly different words for things. But it's like, you never have to worry about, I don't know how the fuck to get anywhere, and nobody knows my language.
Can't read the street signs. Yeah, I confess to being a total Anglophile, too, ever since I was a little kid, too. Like, that doesn't hurt. Yeah.
Like, acute ones, obtuse ones. Like
God, I love angles.
Yeah, angles are awesome. So, I'm totally getting into doing the research on that. I'm excited. This is the first time the kids have really been out of the States. So I don't know, you know, they're going to be kids and they're probably not going to be all that interested in it, but whatever, maybe someday they'll appreciate it.
Who knows?
The worst thing is, on the cruise, we're going to stop in France, and you have, the thing that sucks is that like two of the choices you have, there's a shore excursion to Monet's house where he painted the water lilies.
Sure.
Or the beach at Normandy. And those are both things I want to see.
I feel like the beach at Normandy is the easy choice. Monet's house repainted, the water lilies is just going to be a house. You've seen the painting.
There's like Monet paintings there.
Oh, I'm sure there's a whole gift shop.
There's a museum there.
Yeah, well, Normandy is just a cold, wet beach with like some leftover.
There's like some modern history there, man.
Blood in that sand.
Where a dude painted a picture does not strike me as the choice there. I'm sorry. I love art,
you have an easy decision, and so do I.
Yeah.
And it's a different decision.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
But it's hard to not be able to go to see the beaches.
That sounds fun.
So, anyway.
I mean, the beach is the beach, like, first. And then second, there were a bunch of, like, war stuff there. So I feel, All right.
That's my boner.
That's a good boner. That's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super English.
Yeah, that's a very British boner.
It's got top hat.
Nick.
Yeah.
What's got you rock hard lately?
So in mid-September, Borderlands 3... the fourth Borderlands game will be out. And so I went out and bought Borderlands 2 and Borderlands the pre-sequel, also known as the Handsome Collection. In like one disc for $10 for both games with all the DLC.
For
PS4? For
PS4. Yeah.
And because I'm just going to play solo just to replay Borderlands 2, and because I never played the pre-sequel, I'm just going to play through them.
Just pre-sequel. It's called a prequel, but like it's not. Nope. It's a pre-sequel.
It takes place before the sequel.
It's just such a
Borderlands so thing. So it's like Borderlands 1.5, but the narrative frame is set after 2.
Yeah.
So I just beat Borderlands 2, and I'm playing Borderlands the pre-sequel for the first time just to get geared up. It's Gearbox. Yeah. For Borderlands 3 coming out in September, which I'm really looking forward to, and I'll be playing on Xbox because that's where my friends are.
Yeah.
But they came out with free DLC for Borderlands 2 that just came out for anyone that wants it, that ties Borderlands 2 to Borderlands 3.
Oh, cool.
And it's dope, and it's surprisingly big, and there's a lot of voice acting, and there's little echo recorders you can find where they're talking about the four playable characters in Borderlands 3 to kind of roughly introduce you to them.
Cool.
The pre-sequel is like less fun than Borderlands 2, but it's still very fun and worth playing and has that same silly humor. So for some reason, The moon of Pandora is called Elphys.
Okay.
And everyone on the moon has an Australian accent. Like that's their Pandora's Australia is the moon. And so as you're like running around, you run into people that are like J.J. Washington a billabong. Like it's like, what the fuck did you just say?
Yeah.
Something about a billabong? Like
that's
great. And when you're outdoors, you have to rely on your Oz pack, which is your oxygen pack. Which can run out of air, but you can also, like, jet yourself. You can give yourself a little double jump boost. You can also, like, butt slam enemies, but that consumes your oxygen supply. So yeah.
When I butt slam, that takes a lot of oxygen.
It takes a lot of wind out of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it there's kind of like risk management for maneuverability, which is kind of neat. You can like float midair and snipe people a little bit. It's fun.
Very cool.
The stuff for Borderlands 3 that they've been showing has been fucking awesome. The trailers and the graphics, this unique cel-shaded style that they have. They've really, really been like getting a lot of hype machine going for Borderlands 3. There's this thing called the Borderlands VIP Rewards Program, where it's like, once a week, go to their Facebook page, go to their Twitter account, go to their Instagram page, and you get 100 points.
Okay.
Complete this survey, and you get 250 points. If you're on their mailing list, every few days, they'll send you an email, and at the bottom of the list, there'll be a code to put
the
in for...
At the bottom of the email, you get the whole thing. Yep,
there'll be a code to put in for points. And people, like, post all their points on Reddit in this ongoing spreadsheet, too. So you can take these points, and every 4,000 points, you can redeem them for, like, a guaranteed, at your level, legendary weapon in Borderlands 2 or the pre-sequel to encourage people to go back and play those games in addition to the free DLC they put out to get people playing Borderlands to hype up for Borderlands 3. And then if you redeem 8 things, you get this legendary weapon in Borderlands 3. But there's also like a bunch of skins and unique heads for characters in Borderlands 3 that you can buy with these points too.
That's cool.
And it's all free, and like there's a bunch of funny videos and shit, and it's just a little bit of marketing. Like it's
plus
harmless.
it's getting you hype
for something.
It's
I'm
totally
excited.
Getting you hype for something
but
when it comes out,
there are people that are not excited for it.
It's absolutely
there are people that aren't you that they're
like,
worried.
But you're getting hype, and when it comes out, you'll have a reward for that hype.
Right.
To like to play with some skins
totally,
and
it's
some heads.
It's free and
you know, we've got a PS4 at our house now. Devin turned it on.
Spider-Man.
A bunch of games and I don't think he's got Spider-Man
dude,
yet.
He would like Borderlands
too. Spider-Lands.
Yeah, no, for real though.
Well, he spent all his money on the PS4, so he's got like one game.
So he's got like a Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
One of the things they put out already for Borderlands 3 is the cosplay guides for all the characters that show like 350 degree views with close-ups on all the patches and buttons. They show the Pantone color swatches for all the different parts of their costumes and their eyes and stuff.
It's so great.
And one of the, I kind of want to cosplay one of the characters, but it would be super incredibly fucking ambitious.
Luckily, you've got almost a full year.
I do.
You got an extra month.
Yeah, I know.
An extra month.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. It'll also be very hot. It'll also be very hot.
It would be hot, but so are you.
No. So yeah, that's my boner.
We're talking about boners. I gotta talk about a hottie.
That's fine.
So speaking of hot boners.
Oh yeah.
Molly, I hear you've got a sweaty one.
I do. I have the sweatiest, reddest boner in the whole world. It's salt crusted. It's true.
What's this salt crusted red boner?
So okay, I have been running. I've been running competitive long distance since I was 10 years old. So 31 years of competitive long distance running. I know. And I know it sounds crazy to say I've been doing it since I was 10, but I'm not kidding. I ran my first 5K road race when I was 10 years old.
In corduroys.
Yeah, and I've been running ever since.
Can't get that sound out of my head.
I know, right? So I got diagnosed with osteoarthritis in both my knees in 2016. Oof. And I wasn't able to run for about a year. And I did physical therapy and all this shit and was able to finally, I thought I was never going to run again, to be perfectly honest. And I got really depressed and I managed to get back to it where I was able to run like a mile and that was huge. Like I could run a whole mile.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. And so but because of RunFest and Convergence happening right before RunFest, there's always been this I wouldn't run in the winter and I would run in the spring and then I would start getting up to about 5-6 miles in the summer, and then I'd have to stop because I would do RunFest, and it's hell on my body.
Yeah.
And especially because we're doing improv, and if you've ever seen our improv show, you know how ridiculously physical I get.
Yeah.
And how, you know, that puts a lot of wear and tear on my whole body. Plus, I'm not sleeping, and I'm working full time on top of it. So I would stop running, and then I wouldn't run in October, and then I would run a little bit, and then it would be snowing again, right?
So, and then you can run for 6 months.
Exactly. So I never really got past that 6 mile barrier, and I wasn't doing any races. But this year, since we retired from RunFest and we don't have that going on, I decided to take my chances and I entered the lottery for the TC 10 Mile, which is here in the Twin Cities. We have the Twin Cities Marathon. Happens the
most
first...
beautiful urban marathon.
It is. It is fucking gorgeous. It is the first weekend of October, which means it's always either the last weekend of Fest or the weekend immediately following the last weekend of Fest.
Yeah, no way.
Which means I can't ever do it.
No, there's no way you'd be trained up for it.
And
just
I ran that marathon in 2004 and 2005. I was extremely anorexic both times. I was very sick. I did not train well. No. But I got a sub-4 in 2005. And then 2 months later, I ran a Vegas marathon. And I broke my foot at mile 8. And I ran 18 more miles on a broken foot. That's just the headspace I was in. It wasn't
Runners
a healthy
are
one.
Fucking psychotic.
Right. So, I haven't really run anything longer than a half marathon since then. And I probably don't know if I'll ever get up to a half marathon again. But running is my passion. And running these longer distances is, a thing that really matters to me. So, I am super excited to be in this TC 10 Mile Lottery. And my training is at a good spot. I ran 7 miles last Saturday.
Yeah. All right.
Which is the longest I've run since, 2015. So I am super into it, and I know I'll be able to finish the 10 mile. That's not even a question. Honestly, I could run 10 miles now and finish. Yeah. I just would hate it. It would be really bad for me. But I'm trying to get to a good time spot, and then I'm hoping I can just continue that all through the winter because I love running in the winter. I've got ice cleats and all this sub-zero gear, so I'm hoping just to keep going.
A blue face mask and a blue
vest.
Yeah,
with a balaclava and stuff.
Yeah.
I got a cortisone shot. My right knee was being a dick, and so I got a cortisone shot, and that fixed it. So it's just been really great.
It's been good to see. You've been really happy.
It's really good for my self-esteem. It's good for my stress. It's just running. It's hard to explain. I never feel more like myself than I do when I'm running, which I know sounds sad because I'm always alone and there's no one around to see it, right? I am my purest self when I am in the middle of a really long run and it's just me out there. And there's just something about being 5 miles away from home and there's no way back except to run 5 more miles, right? And so it's a very woman versus nature, woman versus herself, woman versus the road kind of a thing that feels very, it's combative and also like cooperative. It's me with my body and like I get in a weird headspace. I love it. I love running. It's like, I always joke that I'm built for speed, not comfort, you know, but like, that's like, it's like what my body was built to do. I've never had to learn to run. I've just been good at it since I was a kid. So it just, it's,
do you have a goal time for your 10 mile?
Okay. So it's embarrassingly enough, when you sign up, you have to tell them what you think your average pace will be or your target pace, because they want to have an idea of where people are going to fall
for starting.
Starting. And when you go to start one of these races, even in a 5K, they do this, but it's especially important for longer distances. It'll start with like 5 minutes per mile, and it's five and a half, six and a half, all the way down to like, you know, 15 minutes per mile. And so you go stand where you think you're going to be.
Yeah.
So that you're with the pack. And then there's a person whose job it is, who's, you know, I don't think it paid or if it's volunteer, but they hold this sign that says a time, like a pace, and they carry that and they run that pace. That's their job, is to stay on exactly that pace.
I am sure it's a volunteer.
I'm sure. So my guess is if you naturally run 7.5 minute miles, you might take the 9.5 minute mile one, so you can go nice and slow and just feel, and you can also carry a pole. But like, they also will be encouraging, and they'll be like, you gotta just like kick up the hill, you're almost there, you gotta stay on pace, you know, and like, it's cool. So when I signed up, I said 8.5 minutes per mile.
Okay.
Because that's my fastest I ever go.
Okay.
Right now, I'm hitting about 9.
Okay.
I'm hitting about 9:05. So there's a chance.
But you got time.
I have time. It's not until October. There's a chance, but I'm also not sweating it. I'm not worrying too much about it. So,
I mean, don't you think if you show up and you're like, you know what, I'm not quite at this.
Oh, they don't care.
Yeah,
they don't care. Yeah,
you'll just fall back.
They don't even know. They don't even have it.
Yeah.
It's just for their.
It's
like,
not enforced.
Right. It's a metric for them to have a make sure that they have
like
a good.
If you're doing the Disney Marathon,
yeah.
I mean, they've got pacers, and you got to keep up that pace. And if you fall too far behind. Because, you know, they got to open the fucking parks, right?
Sure. All races have that. If you fall behind a certain point, they have what they call a cleanup cart, and they'll put you in the cart. And they'll be like, do you think
you
can...
they'll take you away and kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but they'll be like, do you think you can keep running? And they'll just... But usually if you fall that far behind, they just... You're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
Right. So whatever the slowest pace is...
It's usually six hours for marathons.
Right.
That's usually the... 6 hours is usually like, come on, man. Like, it's not... That's very slow. So, yeah. I'm excited. I think it's going to be great. And running a Disney half is one of my dreams.
Yeah.
So one of these days, that's going to be a thing that we do where we go for the week or the week and a half and I run the race. You know, the problem is that has to be the end. It's hard to decide, right?
Yeah.
Should that be the first thing you do?
Ooh.
And then you can't walk very much the rest of the time? Or do you get so sore from walking all that time at Disney? Or do you put it in the half? You know, where do you do the half marathon? Because I guarantee
that's
for the next 2 days.
That's a problem I will literally never have.
Yeah. But for the next 2 days, I will not be able to walk very quickly.
I gotta worry about shit. Yeah.
Right? So I'd rather, I don't know, I want to, but at the same time, I also want to do Grandma's sometime because I think running into Duluth would be insane.
Oh, Grandma's Marathon.
Not the marathon, but the half they do. Yeah. Oh, fuck's sake.
You are talking about boners.
All right. On the topic of fucking grandmas, great grandmas, it's time for 5 questions.
5 questions.
5 questions.
And we have 5 questions from Benjamin Rudolph.
Hi, Benjamin.
Who says, hello, everyone. Here are 5 questions I have been thinking about.
Why, thank you.
All right. Question one. I heard your first science fiction Fuck, Marry, Kill, and I want to hear you do Fuck, Marry, Kill on the alternative sci-fi shows of Babylon 5, Farscape, and Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I never got into any of these.
BSG is great. I didn't care for the ending.
All right, so what's your go?
So you fuck Farscape, right? Because there's puppets.
Okay.
And that's just going to be silly.
Sure.
And then I think you marry Battlestar Galactica, and then you kill Babylon 5 because it's not Deep Space Nine, and sure, JMS is great, but like, those first couple seasons are real bare, and yeah, I know it's great at the end, but who has the time for that?
Okay. Okay.
I also would kill Babylon 5, but I think I'd reverse the fucking Mary.
Ooh.
Because, I mean, Battlestar Galactica is just, you know, it's sexy.
So, it's got some dirty space fucking, some hard space fucking going on.
There's some people there that have
some experience
at fucking.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, you know, we'll go for fucking Battlestar Galactica.
Plus, when you fuck them right.
Because, honestly, I like puppets, and I could spend the rest of my life with puppets.
When you fuck them right, Tim, their spines glow red. So yeah. That's another reason to fuck Battlestar.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to kill Babylon 5, but I'm going to fuck Farscape, because I want to fuck Chiana.
Okay.
This one's Chiana, in case you don't remember. She's the one with the weird white bowl cut who looks like Jack Skellington if she were a lady.
Sure.
And then I'm going to marry Battlestar Galactica, because I could watch that show over and over. I didn't hate the ending, and very much enjoy all of the show.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. So when you marry someone, you know, you got to be with them forever. Right, so that's
sure,
the thing.
With Baltar forever.
You're watching it over
forever.
And over. I love Gaius Baltar. I think he's fucking great.
Yeah.
He's hot as shit, and he's a great character.
Sure.
All right. Okay. Question two: what is an underrated sandwich ingredient?
Underrated
sandwich ingredient.
Sandwich ingredient.
And I'm going to tell you mine: Greek yogurt.
Oh yeah.
Greek yogurt is better than mayonnaise. It doesn't have as much flavor as mayonnaise, so if you really love the mayonnaise flavor, I can't help you. But, like, if you're making tuna salad,
for the texture.
Chicken salad, egg salad, Greek yogurt is a better one. It's full of protein. It's got less fat. I like to just put that on a burger. I like to just put it on, like, a sandwich with Dijon mustard and then, like, cheese and meat and lettuce. It's moist, and it basically just adds a shit ton of protein and delicious moistness.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
For me, it's Italian dressing.
Mm.
I like to put Italian dressing on my sandwiches. I think it adds a nice little zing to whatever.
Good on a grinder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Italian dressing.
Yeah.
Hot sauce.
Oh, yeah.
I can go more specific. I'm not going to say sriracha. It's overdone. I'm going to say good old Frank's or maybe Louisiana. Yeah.
I do love me some Frank's.
Frank's is good stuff.
It's good on a peanut butter sandwich. It's good on a burger. It's good on like a deli meat sandwich.
It's good on tuna salad.
It's good on tuna salad. Yeah. It's good on chicken salad or even egg salad.
It's true. All right. Question three. What is one movie that every geek should watch? Based on its pervasiveness and reference or the general geeky zeitgeist, this is not intended as a gatekeeping thing.
Sure.
So just, like, in your opinion, what's a movie every geek should watch?
I feel like the most obvious answer is Star Wars.
Star Wars.
But I want to say, I'm going to say Tron.
Tron's a good answer.
Tron is a cultural touchstone moment that, even though it wasn't necessarily a great movie, it had a lot of cultural impact, and it gets referenced a lot. Everyone should have to see Tron.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you're a geek if you haven't
seen. No. Yeah, that's not what this is about.
Right. Yeah.
It's not about you're not a geek if you haven't seen.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
If you consider yourself a geek, I think you should see this.
Yeah, Tron.
Yeah.
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 I would have to say 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Hmm.
Really?
On as big a screen as you can see it.
Hmm.
Because 2001 A Space Odyssey, if you see it in a theater in 70mm, it transforms the experience and you understand what it's like to see this kind of thing the way it was meant to be seen. And 2001 A Space Odyssey needs to be seen in a dark theater so you understand the emptiness and the loneliness
that
is a part of the story.
Sure.
Yeah.
Also, that psychedelic bit at the end in the theater looks fucking cool.
It really does.
Even when you're not stoned, and I should know because
no one would give you any weed.
God damn it.
He was outside begging for it, and everyone's like, "Narc, no way."
No way.
I'm going to say Drop Dead Gorgeous. Now, I know this is a weird choice, and hear me out. Like, maybe you're like, but I only like sci-fi, Molly. This movie is fucking weird. It's horrific. It's especially if you're a Minnesota geek.
Oh, yeah.
It's very Minnesotan. There's a lot of references that I think it said. It is a very silly, horrific movie that stars a lot of people that have gone on to be in geek films. And I think that you would appreciate it.
It's a good flick. It's underrated.
I like it.
All right. Question four. What language would you like to be fluent in right now?
Japanese,
all right.
It's not very practical.
Sure.
Honestly, Chinese.
Yeah.
It would be the most useful.
Yep. Arabic. I've always thought it both looks and sounds beautiful. I would love to speak it. I think the writing of it is very cool.
Yeah.
I'd say of the media I consume, the most of it is in English.
Yeah.
And the second most of it is probably in Japanese.
Yeah, that
and
makes
then
sense.
Third is probably Spanish.
Yeah.
So,
I'd
pick Japanese. Plus, I have friends there I would like to be able to speak to in not English.
Totally. All right. Question 5. This is a hypothetical.
Hypothetical. Okay.
Geeks Without God has become massively popular.
Hypothetical.
And you can no longer satisfy your audience with only one episode a week.
Boner episode talking about satisfying our audience.
Each of you needs to make a spin-off podcast. What would it be about, and who would be your co-hosts?
I know mine.
Okay.
All right. So, Molly and I would do a podcast with the Rappellas, Andrea and Justin Rappella.
Yep.
Where it would be called TV Party. After the Black Flag song, TV Party.
Yep.
And we would, because we are two couples that watch a lot of television.
Yeah.
And we would talk a lot about television and the shows we're watching and do like weekly recaps of ongoing stuff we're watching.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that.
Tim, do you have yours?
Yeah, actually, it's something that I'm talking about and we just haven't quite gotten it together. But Pat and I want to do a podcast, and I would probably get Allegra Lingo as our like co-host. Because it would be a Disney nerd podcast where we would talk about like Disney movies and shit like that, and also Disney World and Disneyland and all the weird ass Disney shit.
What would you call it?
Right now, the problem is I don't have a name for it. I like Disney Nerds podcast, honestly, but probably already exists.
What should Tim write as called? Podcast. People should comment.
Yeah. I would like to do a podcast that is about new horror books that come out, like straight up, not necessarily like good horror books, but like murder books.
Murder books.
Yeah.
Murder books.
And
trashy
and,
murder novels.
Yes. And I would like Megan Slauson to be my co-host, and Megan would talk about all the horror movies that Megan watches, and it would be talking about like the different media and how, like, horror is different based on whether you're imagining it or watching it and the differences therein.
What would you call it?
I would call it Spooky, Spooky, Scary, Scary.
The Murder Sisters.
The Murder Sisters.
Oh,
that's way better.
That's
way
name.
Better. Yeah.
These all are right. all now going to happen.
Fantastic. Benjamin Rudolph, thank you so much. Those are wonderful
Those are great questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have 5 questions you'd like us to answer, oh, for fuck's sake, please send them in.
We only have two left.
We only have 2 left, and we need your questions. If you were ever like, no, they don't need them, now is the time. Send them in. By the time you hear this, if you're not a Patreon supporter, we're probably already out.
Yeah.
So seriously, send in your 5 questions. I don't care if it's, what's your favorite color, what's your other favorite color,
what's your third favorite color,
and then how big is your dick, like anything, like honestly, whatever you want, we'll figure it out.
Somebody's gonna send in those questions.
I don't care, man. We are so fortunate to have a number of really great Patreon supporters. If you want to be among their ranks, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/geeksthoutgod and join us. You could have heard this episode early. You get access to our 3 special episodes that we've done that are only for Patreon supporters. If you want to know what it was like to summon a demon, go to the Temple of Ek. Or be audited by Scientologists. That's the only way you can find out.
Yeah, the Scientologists, anybody can listen to.
Oh, the psychics. That's right. I get those confused because they're both trying to rob you.
Yes.
They're both exploiting people for money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you all, and we're just so glad that you continue to listen to us. Haven't missed a week yet since 2012, which still blows my mind.
We're not going to knock on wood because we don't believe in that shit. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
But just know that this show means a lot to us, and we do a lot to make sure it happens for you. So thank you, and we'll see you next week. Bye!
Pip, pip, what? My name's Tim Wick, and I'm in London with my family.
We're geeks without God. We don't don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
Please, Tim.
When she was sitting next to